Thank you, Biddy. That was real good. I'm going to play a couple tunes in guitar now. Strash Bay, called The Highlands of Banffshire, and Mr. Bernard's Reel, and another reel I don't know the name of.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to get Harvey to step dance. Natalie's going to play the piano, and I'm going to scratch on the fiddle.
Thank you.
Off our portion of the show with Natalie and I are going to play the two fiddles, starting with the tune called Welcome to Your Feet Again, and then Rotha Merchant's Rant and three traditional reels ending with The White Crow.
Thank you.
See you later.
Again, Maloney wanted to come out and introduce us, but Robbie and I felt we didn't want any more hassles. I mean, you wouldn't believe the aggro that's going on there in the backstage. And Maloney is telling people to do this, that, and the other thing, as he always does. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
So he said, go out and sing a few. So we said we'd sing one, was it? One. I don't want to go from here again without singing a song about my own place where I live, and that's in Dublin. And it's a song called The Spanish Lady, or a version of it. Now, there's a chorus in it which counts down through numbers, and it counts the odd numbers and it counts the even numbers. And the only reason I have, or has a reason that's ever been given me for this, is that you're counting odds and evens. And when describing the woman, you're saying that she had the odds and evens of it, which meant she had everything. So this is the version of the Spanish Lady. I have the Luton Girls Choir over here on the right-hand side, or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, slightly abbreviated. And Robbie's going to give me keys. As I was walking through Dublin City, about the hour of 12 at night, it was there I saw a fair, pretty female washing her feet by candlelight. First she washed them and then she dried them over a fire of ambry coals. And in all my life I never did see such a maid so neat about the soles. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, none. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. I walked back through Dublin City as the dawn of day was o'er. Oh, who did I see but the Spanish lady when I was weary and footsore? She had a heart so filled with loving, and her love she longed to share. And in all my life I never didn't meet with a maid that had so much to spare. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 9. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. I've wandered north and I've wandered south by Stony Batter and Patrick's Close, and up and around by the Gloucester Diamond, and back by Napper Tandy's house. Old age has laid her hand upon me, cold as a fire of ashy coals, and gone is the lovely Spanish lady neat and sweet about the souls. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 9. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. And around and around goes the wheel of fortune. Where it rests now wearies me. All fair young maids are so deceiving. Sad experience teaches me. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 9. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. Thanks very much.
Frank Hart there and Robbie O'Connell again. Well, there's one of these set changes coming up again here. You know, you have to start to live with this at concerts. And I must say at this stage, we'd like to really compliment Flann and all the technical crew for all the work they put in. You know, nobody gives them much compliments, they just do it. We couldn't do the concert without them. Give them a hand. Wonderful to come back here year after year and see familiar faces and a whole bunch of new faces. We did a poll call on Sunday night during the orientation, and over 50% of the people were new, and that was great. And we hope you're having a good time. And we also would like to welcome the people here from Elder Hostel. It's great to have people here who've lived full lives and come here, and they keep us honest, you know? No bullshit. I'm teaching a folklore class myself, and the people from Elder Hostel are in there, and we're having a lively old time talking about this and that and the other thing, you know, and it's great fun. And we were talking today about such complex matters as the role of social centres in cultures, like stereotypes and things. We're talking about the way the Irish have been labelled as drunks. I mean, I don't know who came up with that one. I really don't. We were talking about pubs as basically not being just a place to drink, but social centres for interaction and sharing the news and the kind of reaffirmation of communal bonds and kind of taking the emphasis away from the drink part of it. I mean, we have a vested interest in kind of presenting this point of view, you understand. But it reminds me of a story I heard of, you know, there are always miscreants in the society, people who don't conform. And we do have a share of drinking to excess in our culture, and I have to acknowledge it. And it reminded me of a story of this man who was a total alcoholic and kept coming home to his wife, paralyzed drunk at late hours of the morning from various taverns of ill repute all over the town that he lived in. And he came home one night too many drunk, and he fell in the door and lay on the floor. And his wife said, "This is the end. I've had enough of this. It's been going on too long." And he said, "Oh, it was different tonight. It was different. It wasn't the usual dive at all. I went to a new pub and I upgraded my condition. It was a pub called the Golden Door. You never saw such a tavern in your whole life. The minute I walked into the place, I saw gilded ornaments with gold everywhere around the place. The musicians and the band were playing the most beautiful golden instruments. Gold everywhere. And he said, even in the bathroom, there were golden urinals." Well, he fell down dead drunk at that point and passed out, went to bed. and the wife was totally furious. The next morning, she went to the telephone directory, looked it up, and sure enough, there was a pub called the Golden Door. She called it up. She said, "I'm sick of you people serving drink to people who are obviously drunk, intoxicated, incapable of making adult decisions. You've had it," she said. "I'm getting my lawyer, and I'm coming right down to you, and you're going to end up in court." He said, "Madame," the bartender, "we are not responsible for every adult who comes in here to drink. This is a bar. We card people who look like they're young, but if somebody over the age of 21 wants to drink, we let them drink. It's their prerogative." "I don't believe it," she said. "You people are just capitalizing on the misery of people who are addictive. You're going to hear from me and my lawyer. Are going to be right down. And I want to know one other thing. Do you really have golden urinals in your pub?" He said, "Madame, don't be ridiculous. This is a bar." Bangs down the phone. Turns to his fellow bartender and says, "Another one of these demented women crying about us serving drink to her husbands. I can't stand it. But I think we caught up with the guy who pissed in the saxophone." Well, I think we're all set up now. No more nonsense. The whole staff at Irish Week here is full of All-Ireland champions, people who were born here in America, went back to Ireland, and competed in the All-Ireland Championships. You can't do much better than going back and beat all the Irish kids at home. You can't do better than that if you're born in America. And we've had plenty of them here tonight. They're all over the place. And I'd like to introduce the next musician. I'll be playing the old guitar along with her myself. She's one of the most irrepressible characters in the whole scene of Irish music. She's everywhere. There's a bit of fun and a few tunes and a bit of mischief going on. And she's a wonderful, wonderful whistle player and flute player. She's also the kind of dynamic leader of the great women's, all women's group, Cherish the Ladies. I'm really proud to introduce, from the Bronx, Joni Madden.
Thank you, students. You did exactly what I told you. Okay, you can definitely get out an hour early tomorrow. Okay, well, I'm very lucky to have Mick. I suckered him into playing with me. So I'll tell you, I think he's being very funny tonight for a change. I'll tell you, let's have a nice round of applause. Nobody better than Mick Maloney. I'd prefer if the joke was about pissing into the guitar instead of the woodwind instrument. I mean, I think we're all... But anyway, I'm going to play a few tunes this time. Start off with a few jigs. The first tune is one I taught to my students today. It's one I wrote called The Cat's Meow. I wrote it again for a great friend and mentor, Mr. Sean McGlynn. So I'll play that and play another tune after that called Around the World for Sport, which is exactly what we're going to do up in the Ice House right after this. So hope to see you all up there. Thank you. thanks again very much. So I'm just going to play a few more reels because there's a lot of great talent still to come up. Greenfields America, of course, is coming up, and I'm looking forward to it. And there's rumor about that my dancing shoes are backstage. No, so I'm going to play a few reels. The first tune is one I got from two ex-teachers here, from Liz Carroll and Jerry O'Sullivan, of course, the great musicians, followed by a tune that I learned from Brendan Mulvihill down in Washington, D.C. And last one is a great one. I don't know what it is, just to keep it simple. So I came down here last year just for the hell of it, and I'm glad to be back. That's all I could say. Thanks, Margo, and turn me up.
Johnny Madden. Well, we're going to have now a group that started really as a different concept back in 1977. All the Irish American musicians got together really for the first time in 1976 at the Festival of American Folklife in Washington, D.C., and that was a big celebration of the longevity and the power of ethnic cultures here in America from old worlds that had taken a root here and taken their own path, many, many different paths. And a whole bunch of Irish-American musicians, including myself, got together in Washington. And we had such a great time, we thought, well, wouldn't it be a great thing if we, some of us got together and went around the countryside playing the music that we liked and having a bit of dancing and a few songs and taking it to communities that maybe had lost their Irish roots, you know, and that didn't know much about this particular aspect of their heritage. So we did about 4 national tours over the next 6 or 7 years, and it was great fun. And then the grant money ran out, and we started to do a gig here and there. And last year we thought, well, hell, we're not going to let this whole concept die. It's our culture here in this country, and we're going to get people together, those who are able to, that don't have jobs, you know, that keep them, you know, stuck and only weekends free and so on. And the most modern version of this group called the Greenfields of America was formed. And the people in the group are Robbie O'Connell, as you see here, or will see when the lights come up, on the right-hand side of my stage and the left-hand side of yours. And beside him is Robbie O'Connell from Waterford, or Tipperary, I'm never sure quite which it is, and a very distinguished representative of our culture. He's a nephew of the great Clancy brothers and a wonderful songwriter and singer in his own right and guitar player. And then Seamus Egan, the ubiquitous multi-instrumentalist from Philadelphia, who's barred permanently from Ireland because he's won too many All-Ireland championships and too many instruments. And then there's myself, and then there's Eileen Ivers. And Eileen Ivers is remarkable because she went back to Ireland 10 times, starting at the age of 11, and won every single time first place in the All-Ireland Fiddle competition. And that is something that never, ever happened in any culture in this country, going back to the home country and doing something like that. And then there's Jimmy Keane, 5 times All-Ireland accordion champion from Chicago. So we come from different parts. Myself, I'm from Philadelphia, and so is Seamus. Eileen's from New York, Jimmy's from Chicago, Robbie's from Boston. But we get together from time to time, and we made a record recently too. This is shameless commercialism now here, and called the Greenfields of America. And we'd love to play a few tunes for you and sing a few songs. Thank you.
We were boarded by a pleasant crew bound for America. Fresh water there we did take on 5,000 gallons or more. In case we'd run short, going to New York, far away from the Shamrock Shore. All confined into our bunks, with no one to pity poor me. No father kind nor mother dear to lift up my head when to soar, which made me think more of the lassie I left on Paddy's green Shamrock Shore. Sweet lies a dear, and likewise to Derry town. And twice farewell to my comrades all, who dwell on that sainted ground. If fortunate ever should favour me, or I should have money in store, I go back and I'll wed the wee lassie I left on Paddy's green Shamrock Shore. Thank you.
Johnny Golden and Gene Butler, and of course they're too an integral part of the whole concept of the Greenfields, which is to present music and song of dance and dance together. We started about the whole selection of tunes, and they were all associated with Irish culture here in America. The very first tune was a tune that Jimmy got from the playing of a great flute player called Seamus Cooley. And the second tune was a tune that Charlie Mulvihill, a great accordion player from New York, he was from County Clare originally, used to play. And then we went into one of the classic emigration ballads from the north of Ireland, Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. Then a tune that Jimmy composed himself called Sligo Jack, after a great late lamented friend of his who was his friend and his bartender and also his musical colleague. And we ended up then with a tune composed by the late great Larry Redigan, a great friend of Jack Cohn's, who lived in New York City, a great Dublin fiddle player. So that whole suite was sort of based on the Irish music scene here in America. I'm going to go back to the 17th century now for the next song, which is a song written by a poet called Donald Mairgeach MacConmara, a poet exiled from Connacht down to Munster. And he couldn't go back home for reasons unknown, but he, when the springtime would come, would ask the south wind to bring tidings to his loved ones up in Connacht, and to bring the sound of the pipes and the music and stories from himself to them. Called the beautiful song that he wrote called The South Wind.
A gwein yas na mreon mong glas a ni gach fain ferva verias geras is gurion nid yas is lion is maser geagul o titu al yas Gwydw dyniad, cos mi o'n ogliad sy'n siedda. Cor ymrin y fiad, cod clif yn dyniad, stwyd o'n tîr sy'n blas, mo feil sy'n. Sin ymyn ias, eich dian o'r clias, nac ni o'n ymniad sy'n teol sio. Mae'r isli ym gaif, is gwyl ymniad, is dibr ym snag das sylete. O ditw eliad, Gofwydw dyniad, cos mi o'n ogliad sy'n siedda. Ys gofwydw dyfianach, ys gogen tili yr waliad, ac ys gwyha i gohyr Sin ôl o'n iawn, sy'n gwyb